Hand me my glasses. Senate will please come to order. Good morning. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for Tuesday, March 6th. Agar. Anderson. Anselmi Dalton. Baldwin. Barnard. Boner. Bouchard.
Excused.
Burns.
Excused.
Case. Christensen. Coe. Dockstetter. Driscoll. Ellis. Emmerich. Hastert. Hicks. Kinski. Landon. Meyer. Moniz. Nethercott. Pappas. Perkins.
Here.
Peterson. Here. Rothfuss. Here. Scott. Here. Von Flader. Here. Wasserberger. Here. President Bebout.
Here.
28 present, 2 excused.
Would you all please rise for our prayer this morning by Pastor Dustin DeVos?
Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come to you this day and I ask you to superintend through the Holy Spirit over those who are here within my voice and those serving in the high calling of public service. It is our hope, yea, our need, Father, that you would redirect our hearts towards you in righteousness and moral conduct to fulfill the calling as public servants in a manner that honors you and cares for the citizens of this great state. You proclaim in your holy word that your children should eagerly seek unity in the bond of peace, knowing that this call is needed because we are all different people with different views and understanding that the road to unity can be steep and difficult, we ask you to let us have hope that does not disappoint. For if we are redeemed by you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, unity in the bond of peace is achievable. Lord, we know and understand that this unity is hard to reach within the body of Christ, and even more so when we're not united in our beliefs or our faiths, and do not heed your call and your warnings to follow in you your faith and repentance. So let us each now examine our very souls. Lord, through your Spirit, let us see and claim all of our iniquity so that we may confess it, repent of it, and believe in your gospel so that we may achieve this unity in the bond of peace. And lastly, Father, as we seek diligently to live out this unity, may those of us who have been redeemed by the atoning work of our Lord Jesus, remember that we are to live this way in unity. We should bless those who persecute us. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you and you alone, live peaceably with all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have some very special guests here this morning, members of the Senate. And Governor, welcome. Good to have you on the floor of the Senate to participate in this event we're going to do this morning. And, you know, members of the Senate, you know, you're very familiar with Larry and his Leela's here with us as well as Foy. And what we're going to do, we have a resolution. We're going to read. The reading clerk will read that resolution, and then Floyd's going to make a presentation. We have a flag from Senator Enzi. But what we're really here to do is thank Leela and the Hoopman family for all that they've done for the Senate, for the state of Wyoming, for our country. And Governor, thank you for being here. And certainly, if you would like to say a few words, we would love to. You have privilege of the floor, and the floor is yours, Governor.
Mr. President, thank you and this distinguished body for giving me a few minutes of time this morning.
You know, I think about all of you who are elected to serve the state of Wyoming, and it causes me again to confirm this is a distinguished body. But it's distinguished not only by the members of the Senate, it is distinguished by those who give their time and service to the state of Wyoming in a number of ways. And Larry certainly was one of those people. The good Lord occasionally puts wonderful people in our pathway, and all of you, I think, have moments during the day or at some point in the year where you sit back and reflect and think about your time in this office and what you will remember and cherish after you leave. And I have those same thoughts. And I can assure you that as I think about that, I'm not going to necessarily think it's this bill or that bill. I'm going to think about the special relationships that we get to have with people who likewise care about their community and the state of Wyoming. I met Larry probably 20, 23 years ago in a much different environment. I used to, wouldn't know it now, but I used to go to the gyms in the morning, early in the morning, around 5 o'clock in the morning. And that's where Carol and I met Larry. And he was one of those people that was instantly a friend to us and has remained a friend all of these years. And every one of my State of the State addresses, Larry was there to greet me as I went in. And he was a cheerleader. And when I came out, he was usually one of the first to say, good job, and continue to encourage me. And so to the Hooman family and Layla, when we think about Larry, he was a friend to each one of us. He helped us. I think he was not only a cheerleader for me, I think he was a cheerleader for many in this group, and certainly, always and forever, a cheerleader for wonderful Wyoming and the United States of America. Thank you for sharing him with us. Certainly, as we reflect, all of us will remember that the good Lord was kind enough to share Larry with us. Thank you, Mr. President, for this opportunity to share my thoughts on Larry. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Governor, for being here. And we also have in the back of the room two former presidents of the Senate, former presidents Tony Ross and former President Phil Nicholas. Thanks for joining us today and being here for Larry. And we really appreciate you both being here. We're going to have a resolution. Would the reading clerk please read the resolution?
The 64th Legislature of the State of Wyoming honors the memory of Larry Hootman, a memorial providing for recognition of Larry Hootman, who served as a sergeant-at-arms for the Wyoming Senate, expressing deep appreciation for his distinguished service to his state and country, and further expressing the depth of our sorrow on behalf of the Wyoming Legislature. Be it resolved by the 64th Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas Larry Hootman started working for the Wyoming Senate as a weekend watchman in 2003, and then moved to the telephone receptionist in 2006, where he stayed in that position for another 3 years, before moving to doorman in 2009. In 2011, Larry was named Sergeant-at-Arms, where he served with honor for the past 8 years. And whereas Larry led the entry team and worked with the Wyoming Highway Patrol troopers to ensure security measures were met, keeping everyone safe with his calm and confident demeanor. And whereas Larry had a reputation of being sweet, caring, and modest, while at the same time ensuring senators met decorum, protocols, and policies, especially the dress code policy.
Especially the dress code policy.
And whereas Larry retired after 26 years of service in the United States Air Force, where he worked around the world as a geodetic surveyor attaining the rank of Chief Master Sergeant. After the Air Force, he worked for the State Parks Department for 15 years, retiring in the year 2000. And whereas Larry and his wife Layla enjoyed 57 years of marriage with two children and enjoyed daily exercise together. And whereas Larry was regarded as a trusted friend and colleague and possessed in greatest measure the virtues of integrity and honesty, serving as an example to be followed by all. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the legislature of the state of Wyoming that we express our profound sense of loss created by the passing of our beloved friend and extend our sympathies to the family of our fellow legislative staffer. Be it further resolved that a copy of this memorial be transmitted to the family of Larry Hootman, that they may know the sense of sorrow and loss suffered by the people of the Wyoming legislature by his passing. Signed on this 21st day of February, 2018.
I also have a letter here from Senator Mike Enzi that I would like to read, but it's sort of fitting, Leela and Foy, that today is Bolo Tie Days for those of you that got the memo. Those of you that didn't, you know, we understand, but Larry, you know, he liked the tie. The Bolo was a stretch. And Senator Perkins, you know, you're the one that promoted this, and I see you don't have your Bolo on. But he, you know, we had to visit, as I recall, with Larry about, if you want to wear Bolo ties one day, some of us wear them every day. Somebody from Carbon County might do that. But anyway, I'd like to read this letter, and it's from the United States Senate Senator Mike Enzi to Leela. Diana and I are sorry for the loss of your husband, Larry. We wanted to write to you to let you know that we are thinking of you and all your family. Time like these show us just how precious every day is. Boy, that's for sure. I'm sure 57 years together feel like the blink of an eye. When we are young, we feel like we have an endless supply of tomorrows. Then as we get older, the days and then the years pass by more and more quickly. There is no dress rehearsal for life. It's an adventure we experience just once, finding our comfort and peace in the memories we take along with us. Of the good times, and you had a lot of good times, I know that, and special days we shared with family, friends, and loved ones. I hope you'll take a moment to jot down some of those memories you have of the difference this one life made. The joys you share, the happiest days, the rewards, and the achievements, along with the solemn and serious moments. Yesterday's memories are tomorrow's history lesson for all who pass this way and a loving testament to a fully lived life. Diana joins me in sending our heartfelt sympathy to you. God bless. Signed, Mike Enzi, United States Senator. And Leela, I know you didn't want to say a few words, but you wanted me to do that for you, and it's my privilege and honor to do that. And she wanted me to give her heartfelt thanks to all of you for, you know, what you've done and how you've helped through this very, very trying time. But also all of the years Larry was here and the good memories we're going to have together. And those memories will be with us for the rest of my life. You heard what the governor said. I didn't realize that he met Larry 22 years ago working out. You know, maybe you should have the governor going down to the last couple of weeks and maybe things would be a little smoother. I didn't say that. But anyway, Leela, thank you so much. And Foy, we're going to have a flag here. Would you please come up and present this to Leela? And we have the proclamation. Leela, come on up here. Let me turn on the mic for you. Would you like to say something, Foy? We'll give you privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President and members of the Senate. When Larry passed away, I, being a retired Air Force member and having worked on state Senate staff for 9 years, retiring with the 58th Senate session, I am the Veterans Advisor for Senator Enzi. I contacted him in Washington and requested that a flag be flown over the U.S. Capitol. That was done. The flag was received last week. And so the ceremony you see today is taking place. It's fitting that we present Mrs. Hootman with a flag in honor of her husband and his service to our country and to the state of Wyoming at this time. And thank you for the services that you render to our country and our state in the service that you provide through this grueling session that you've had. So at this time, we're going to present the flag that has been flown over the United States Capitol to Larry's wife, and I know that Larry's looking down on us now. I served with him before I left with the 58th session, and you might say I'm still serving. I've been with Senator Enzi's staff as his veterans advisor since he began to run his fourth six-year term, and he's about halfway finished with it now. He called me from Washington and asked me to do this, so I'm looking out. I'm his eyes and ears for the veterans that serve in any capacity, active duty reserve, National Guard, and their dependents. So it's my honor to also make sure that when one falls, they've done their last duties, that we honor them in such a way. So I'm grateful that Larry was able to do his last duty at this body. He served, he went home, he got sick, he went to the ER, and he never came home. He died on my 78th birthday, February 16th. I will never forget that. And as a memory to him, this flag is now being presented to his wife.
Here you go. Kind of hard to get back to business after all that and thinking of Larry. But we've got a lot to do. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 5, 2018 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Being none, that report is adopted. Yes, sir, Senator Coe.
Mr. President, House Bill 140 was read in yesterday afternoon. I would request it be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Without objection, so noted. Doctor for the day is Dr. Evan Norby from Cheyenne. Nurse for the day is Sherry Rubio Wallace and Faye Whitney from the School of Nursing. Today in Wyoming history, Sheridan, Wyoming was incorporated. Maybe one of those two former senators sitting in the back of the room talking to each other and they're not paying attention like they never did. Oh, now they're paying attention. Could tell us what date that was. '84. Today is day 16 of the proposed 20-day session. It is also the last day for bill to report it out of committee in the second house. Okay, we got some concurrences. Yes, Senator Boner.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the
floor?
Yes,
you may.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have visiting us in the Wyoming Senate today, Class 35 of the Wyoming Cowboy Challenge Academy, sitting there in the back. They could stand up. As many of you know, this is a highly successful program, which is for at-risk youth between 16 and 18 years old. And they're here. They're graduating actually on Saturday, but before they do so, they're going to visit us. So please join me in welcoming to the Wyoming Senate.
Senator Boner, I think we did this last year. We said 10. Hut! They didn't respond. Okay.
Must not be able to hear, sir.
Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of
yes,
the floor?
Yes, sir, you may.
Well, a number of months ago, I was approached by an employee from the Wyoming Challenge Academy, and they asked me to serve as a mentor. And so I've been serving as a mentor for this program, and I'd like to introduce the young man that I'm mentoring. He is a student from the junior high that I used to be principal at, but I want you to know that I was not his principal. He actually saw Mr. Lyman. But anyway, Anthony, would you stand up, please? And he graduates Saturday, and I'm hoping to be at the graduation if everybody gets all our work done, Mr. President.
Thank you. Caveat there as we get all our work done. Where's Senator Meyer? Senator Meyer. You bet. Are you ready for your concurrence?
Yes, I am.
Message 215 to Senate File 31. Will the reading clerk please read in that message?
Message number 215, referencing Senate File number 31, Veterans Skilled Nursing Center.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I would move for concurrence on the message
215.
Message 215 for the Skilled Nursing Center. And reluctantly, Mr. President, I would ask you to vote aye. I'll let you know what happened over there on the House side. Essentially, as the bill left the Senate, it had a study in it, and it moved directly through the process into identification of the needs and basically construction. So what the House did is looked at the timeline and decided that, well, we don't need to move into the construction phase of it. That could actually occur next session, and it can, Mr. President. Your committee, your Joint Transportation and Military Affairs Committee, I think, got tired of studies because we've been studying this for, I think, 17 years in one manner, way, shape, or form, and we're kind of chomping at the bit to move it forward to an end play. However, there were some additional studies that needed to be done to move it through the process in the manner in which we're accustomed to. And so the House has basically moved the construction phase and stuff out of it, went back to the standard method that we do business, and that's a phase one and two during this time period. And it's not going to interfere with the eventual outcome provided, Mr. President. Everybody here realizes that after this study is done, that this study won't be laid on the shelf. And so it's kind of a trust me thing, and whether or not we can trust the subsequent legislature to actually move forward and progress with this, it's extremely important that we do, because at this point in time, the state of Wyoming is, queued up in the federal funds, and we're going to be moved right to the top of the list after we do everything we needed to do. That's why your joint committee wanted to move everything forward at the same time. However, I do understand that essentially this will keep the ball rolling down the field and get us to where we need to be next year when we meet. And so with that, Mr. President, I think that we're not going to lose anything. Again, if we do our job next year, we'll be in fine shape. If we don't, then it'll just be another study sitting on the shelf. But I'm asking you to vote aye because I guess, Mr. President, it's a trust me bill, and I trust this body to do the right thing next year.
The motion is to concur to message number 215 being Senate File 31, Veterans Skilled Nursing Center. You vote aye, you vote to concur. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye, Anderson?
Aye.
Aye, Anselmi Dalton?
Aye,
Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye, Barnard?
Aye.
Aye, Boner?
Aye.
Aye, Bouchard? Excused? Burns?
Aye.
Aye, Case?
Aye.
Aye, Christensen?
Excused.
Excuse, Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye, Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye, Ellis?
Aye.
Aye, Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye, Hastert?
Aye.
Aye, Hicks?
Aye.
Aye, Kinski?
Aye.
Aye, Landon?
Aye.
Aye, Meyer?
Aye.
Aye, Moniz?
Aye.
Aye, Nethercott? Aye, Pappas.
Aye.
Aye, Perkins.
Aye,
aye, Peterson.
Aye,
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Aye, Scott.
Aye,
aye, Bonfladern.
Aye,
aye, Wasserberger.
Aye,
President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 aye, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur to message number 215 to Centerfall 31 Veterans Skilled Nursing Center. We have another group in the back that's visiting us from my district, or I believe it is, and that is from the Cowboy Challenge Group. Are they still here? They are not. Are you Cowboy Challenge? Stand up, please. Welcome to the Senate. Oh, the same group. Well, welcome twice. You know, the president of the Senate is the last one to know what's going on. So anyway, well, welcome twice. Senator Peterson, you wish privilege of the floor?
May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, sir, you may.
Just a reminder, President, when you call somebody to attention, you've got to say at ease, or they would have been standing forever back there. So,
good point. Reports from standing committees.
March 5, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 4, to whom was referred House Bill 53 engrossed, State Educational Program, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Raffas, and Wasserberger, Senator Coe, Chairman. March 6, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred House Bill 39 engrossed, Wildlife Conservation License Plates, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer, Senator Meyer, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred House Bill 84 engrossed, Approval of Bridge Designs, Plans, and Specifications, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. No, Senator Anderson. Senator Meyer, Chairman. March 6, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 6, to whom was referred House Bill 6, Research and Wildlife Information Confidentiality, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz, Senator Moniz, Acting Chairman. Mr. President, Committee Number 6, to whom was referred House Bill 133 engrossed, Display of National Motto, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, and Moniz. No, Senator Emmerich, Senator Moniz, Acting Chairman. Mr. President, Committee Number 8, to whom was referred House Bill 93 engrossed, Speeding Fines Amendments 2, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Baldwin, and Christensen. Noes, Senator Anderson and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Okay, we're at that order of business signing of enrolled acts. Senate Enrolled Act number 20. Being original House Bill, Senate File 25. I have so signed. Oh, I'm sorry. Read that in, would you please?
Senate Enrolled Act Number 20, being original Senate File 25, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 20, Senate File 25, I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 19, being original Senate File 50. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 19, being original Senate File 50, an act relating to financial obligations owed to the state.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 19, being original Senate File 50, I'm about to sign. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 18. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 18, being original Senate File 2, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 18, being original Senate File 2. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act Number 17.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 17, being original Senate File 44, an act relating to the Fire Protection Revolving Account.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 17, being original Senate file 44. I have so signed. Bill's on second reading. We got very many amendments. House Bill 14, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 14, Municipal Jurisdiction.
House Bill 14, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 28, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 28, Education Supporting Children of Military Personnel.
House Bill 28, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. House Bill 29, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 29, Alternative School Accountability.
House Bill 29, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. House Bill 31, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 31, Hathaway Scholarship Application Deadline Extension.
House Bill 31, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. House Bill 36, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 36, Engrossed, Move Over Requirement.
House Bill 36, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. House Bill 41, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 41, Engrossed, Hemp Extract Revisions.
House Bill 41, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. House Bill 61, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 61, Roadside Waiver of Property Rights Prohibited.
House Bill 61, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. House Bill 78, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 78, Engrossed, Omnibus Water Bill Construction.
Okay, we have several second reading amendments. Will the reading clerk please read in the first second reading amendment?
House Bill 78, second reading amendment number 1, to engrossed copy, page 44, line 19.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 78. And this goes clear back to last page of the bill. It goes to 44 before. You'd have to delete that A because if this amendment passes, it would be a paragraph unto itself. And then you go down to page 45, the next page, and you go to the top of the page, and lines 1 through 4 are deleted. And the reason that 1 through 4, the reason I'm deleting this is it says that the sponsor shall not initiate construction of the project until M11 and M12 are settled, blah, blah, blah. The only construction left on this whole project is little subdivisions and the water districts that need to hook up. That's the only construction left. The pipeline's done. The wells are drilled. Everything is done. So the only person we'd be hurting by this being left in there would be the small water districts that are now hooking up to the pipeline. So with that, I ask that for an aye vote, let's get rid of this language. And let's let the Madison Pipeline and all its hookups happen. Thank you.
Further discussion? Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 78. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 2. Reading clerk, please read that one in. Just a second. Senator Nethercutt, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we have our new class from the Cowboy Challenge program visiting with us here in the gallery. My Senate colleagues, if you'd give a warm welcome to the men and women of the Youth Cowboy Challenge program who are working incredibly hard to make a difference in their communities. So if you could give them that warm Senate welcome, if they'd stand to be recognized.
Here, here. Well, welcome to the Senate. And I guess Senator Nethercott, to be fair, should I introduce him again so he has spice on everybody and be fair?
Stand at ease, cadets.
At ease. You may sit down, as too. In fact, you can do whatever. There. Whoa! I like that. I love military discipline. Okay, second reading amendment. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
House Bill 78, second reading amendment number 2 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 11.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 78. Members of the committee, I'm going to jump into the amendment and then just a little further explanation based on the discussion yesterday. So page 1, line 1 through 17 goes in, and the substantive component of that is down on line 12, Romanette 3. It says, special conditions, all expenditures of abandoned mine land fundings and all other project activities conducted by the state of Wyoming for remediation of copper effluent from the Ferris-Hagerty mine shall cease until such time as the storage project on the West Forest of Battle Creek is authorized by the legislature. There is absolutely no reason to continue to spend AML monies up there if we're not going to get into the reservoir. Mr. Chairman, the second component of this amendment, really the substance component, is on page 2. It comes in and it brings back a $10 million appropriation for the West Fork of Battle Creek, but we put a special condition on there. And members, ladies and gentlemen, this is the important point. It says special conditions. Funds from this appropriation shall not be expended until the project sponsor and the Wyoming Water Development Commission have secured additional funding from project beneficiaries in both Wyoming and Colorado on a pro rata basis. Funds from this appropriation shall not be expended until the expenditure is approved by the legislature. Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, just a little discussion yesterday to interject some actual factual information into the discussion. West Fork of Battle Creek site is approximately 7 miles downstream from the inactive Ferris-Hagerty mine that has impaired stream and quality for over 100 years. Although copper present a significant challenge to the project, it has been overcome. And in addition, the additional 8 miles downstream of the project site is also impacted by copper for a total of 15 miles. This is a reading straight from the studies. It says, furthermore, as alluded to from the analysis of wetlands, terrestrial wildlife, fisheries, sensitive plant species, cultural perspective, affected a dam on the West Fork of Battle Creek site when compared to all other potential sites evaluated exhibited the least adverse environmental impacts. It goes on to talk about even consultation once the dam is constructed with DEQ. The results indicate that post-project construction will result in equal or better than current water quality conditions in Hagerty Creek. Mr. President, the West Fork of Battle Creek site was selected because not only was it the least environmentally damaging project, as it had a net conservation gain for fisheries, it was the easiest site to permit through Section 404 of the Clean Water Act. It had the highest level of firm yield for water supplies. The project contemplates 6,500 acre feet for irrigation, 2,000 acre feet for a conservation recreation pool, 1,500 acre-feet for downstream flows for fisheries enhancements. Other information that's available, there are over 19,000 irrigated acres that sit below this reservoir that this project could service over 100 agribusinesses. Recreational benefits in both the reservoir and downstream will be substantial. The project contemplates reoperating in tandem with the High Savory project in the basin, with reauthorizing releases from High Savory that further benefit recreational fisheries on over 40 miles of Savory Creek and 18 miles of the Little Snake River. In January, the Wyoming Wildlife magazine highlighted Savory Creek as the potential and the fisheries that have developed underneath that and still the limitations. This project contemplates over 3,000 acre-feet of water dedicated to flows to improve fisheries in the basin. The economics do work, Mr. President. The economic analysis of Phase 3 report was amortized for the life of a 50-year project. That project payment with interest back to the state recognized a cost to irrigators of about $22 to $25 per acre foot. The project has over a 100-year life expectancy, but the costs were amortized over 50 years. The cost of this project, which would not be entirely borne by the state of Wyoming, is expected to be an average cost of about $7,300 an acre foot. Members of the body, if you will allow me to contrast that with the latest and largest municipal watershed municipal water project in the state of Wyoming, the Gillette-Madison project, that project cost was all just slightly under $40,000 an acre feet compared to the $7,300 an acre feet for agriculture and recreation water. Our neighbors to the south in Colorado routinely pay over $30,000 an acre feet for municipal water. So what is the West Fork? What was that, Mr. President?
10 seconds.
Mr. President, I'd stand to ask to, or answer any questions at this point in time.
Okay, further discussion. Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Mr. President, I'm a little bit confused by this. First off, the first part of the amendment, Mr. President, talks about seizing the restoration or the mitigation of Battle Creek. And I pulled up some information. It seems that, Mr. President, we're actually required by the U.S. EPA and to do what we can on Battle Creek. It seems to involve they treat the stream bed. I'm not sure if it's hay or other. We have an ongoing project there where we mitigate the heavy metals in the creek with looks like hay bales and stopping some of the effluent from going into the creek. And I don't think we can stop doing that, Mr. President. I don't think you can tie the state of Wyoming. We can't stop. We're under orders with the U.S. EPA. So I'd like to know more about that. I'd also like to know what has happened to the $7 million that has already been proposed for this project. You know, I didn't hear any discussion about that. Mr. President, we also heard about the cost of water for municipal uses. And as I'm sure you're aware, we spend a lot more money to obtain water for municipal use than we would for agricultural use. That's the primary beneficiary of this water. So it comes back to the original things we talked about yesterday, a very expensive project that does little except for provide late season, maybe another crop of hay, maybe a little better pasture, and doesn't really bring significant acreage under new irrigation, Mr. President. We would spend more money than the land is actually worth, and this amendment doesn't change anything with respect to that. The 25% of the acreage that's in Colorado, even if they picked up and spent the proportional amount, it's still an astoundingly expensive project. Suppose it brings it down from 5,000 an acre, Mr. President, down to 3,500. It's still more than the land's worth. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Hicks, before you speak for your second time, do you wish to divide the amendment? Is that what you're up for, or do you want to speak for your second time?
Yeah, Mr. President, I would like to divide the amendment.
Okay, what's your proposed division?
So division number one would be page one, line one through line 17. Division two is line 19, page one, line 19 through page two, line 22, Mr. President.
Okay, that is divisible.
Yep, go ahead,
Senator Rothfuss.
Was the, Mr. President, and maybe I misheard it, but line one should be going with the second half of the page. I don't know if that was made in the division statement. I didn't hear it, and my apologies if I just missed it.
Mr. President, if I,
go ahead, Senator,
if I will restate that. So division number one is going to be page one, line one, and then go down page one, line 19, through the balance of the bill on page two, line one through 22. Division number two is line three through 17, Mr. President, if we can, I would like to dispose of division number 2 first.
Okay, members of the Senate, that's a reversal of the order, so let's be sure everybody understands. Division number 1 now is lines 1 through 2 on page 1, and then lines 19 through lines 22 on page 2. Division 1 is the lines 3 through 17. Oh, that's division 2. That's division 2. Everybody understand? Division 1 and Division 2. So the sponsor's request is to deal with Division 2, which is lines 3 through 17 on page 1. Further discussion on that division.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Office.
Thank you. On Division 2, Mr. President, my understanding of this is basically saying, all right, well, we're never going to do this project, so let's not even bother remediating it. And I don't, that's a different vote from we're not going to do this project this year, I think. I'm going to resist this amendment also because personally I probably won't support doing this project this year, but that doesn't mean it's a project that I consider to be off the table, so to speak. So I think continuing the remediation for the purpose of keeping this construction project in play is sensible, and if we don't continue that remediation, we won't be able to continue that consideration. So I would urge the body to also reject the division number 2 to this amendment so that we can have this conversation again in the future if times are better and we have more funds available for similar projects. Thank you, Mr. President.
And Senator Hicks, you'll be able to speak 2 times on that division, as will everybody else. Senator Hicks, go ahead.
Mr. President, first thing, the senator from Fremont County is quoting an old study that was done as an AML project as part of an EPA Superfund cleanup site at the Ferris-Haggerty mine. That's old data, old information. Since that time, EPA has downgraded that site, and actually the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality through Section 303 of the Clean Water Act has promulgated a TMDL, which is a total maximum daily load, which designates the amount of copper effluent that can come into that system. It is a regulatory limit that's designated by the state of Wyoming and approved by EPA, and that's why there is no reason to move forward with this project if, in fact, we don't build the West Fork. Mr. President, it's already got a regulatory limit on it. The process is in place. The study that was quoted is ancient history. Mr. President, the other side of this thing is the reason that we started to go back and look at this is because the Water Development Office made substantial expenditures, as I quoted from the study, in consultation with DEQ to look at new technologies for the potential to remediate the project, which includes natural water treatment, capping some old portals in there where we have some subsidence. The hydrograph of the mine influent follows the natural hydrograph of the water cycle. So getting back to the question is as to why would we leave this open is because it makes no sense. We have already got a TMDL on Haggerty Creek that's been approved by EPA. Why would we go back and spend significant amount of AML monies if we're not going to, in fact, construct a reservoir? There's other projects out there that could be much better utilized for this than the monies that are currently being, as part of the project, the West Fork of Battle Creek, to make sure that we remediate that copper in the system. So, members of the body, on and for the amendment, I know there's better AML projects out there if we don't move forward with this. There's already a regulatory limit in place that's been approved by EPA.
Senator Ross, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. For my second time, and maybe I'm still not tracking this, but what I'm hearing is there's no reason to do this if we're not going to do the West Fork project. I'll take that as true. That presupposes we're never going to do the West Fork project. If we are at some point interested in considering the West Fork project, my understanding is we want the opportunity to potentially remediate the area so that we can do the West Fork project. DEQ prioritizes their AML remediation funds based on need, environmental impact, and a lot of other factors. If, because of the delay of West Fork, the prioritization decreases, then they aren't obligated to continue the project. They don't need our permission, Mr. President, to stop the project if they believe there is a better use of those remediation funds elsewhere. They'll just do it. But this tells them you must stop, and it precludes us in the future from considering this project again because we won't have remediated it, and DEQ will have been told don't do anything for the next 2 years. So, again, Mr. President, I feel like division number two ties our hands and prevents us from reconsidering this in the future unnecessarily when I think we all agree it's a good project, but it might not be the time right now based on the amount of money we have available for the project and based on the fiscal picture for the state. So I would urge the body to reject the second division once again so that we can maintain the flexibility for future legislatures to reconsider the decisions that we're making today.
Further discussion before the sponsor. Senator Case, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. What I'm reading is that we're under Section 303D of the Federal Clean Water Act. We're required to identify water bodies with quality impairments and to develop TMDL plans for each. So, Mr. President, it strikes me as interesting that when we were talking about finding benefits for a reservoir, it was mentioned that one of the benefits of the reservoir was to clean up this creek and that that was important, and that was an extra economics that drove the reservoir being a good idea. Now we find out that maybe there are no benefits to cleaning up the creek. So it depends on how you use it. The creek is kind of in play here. I agree with my fine colleague from over the hill, Mr. President, that we've got to let our water quality folks not tie their hands, not prevent them from accessing AML funds in the future or what have you. The creek is impaired due to mining. We have AML funds. We have other priorities for those funds, and we should let those priorities work themselves out without tying the hands and basically saying we're not going to do anything about this. It's either a real problem or it's not, but I don't like it being used both ways, Mr. President.
Anybody else before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Anybody else? Senator Hicks, go ahead.
Mr. President, it doesn't presuppose that we would never do the project, because if you and you look in your drawers right here, there's a whole pile of bills, Senate files and House bills, and we strike out language in the green books all the time. That's how you bring the project back. The reason that the project has moved up the list in AML funding is because of the West Fork project. It's because of the technologies and the information and the data that was collected as part of the West Fork of Battle Creek project. To answer the question is, can we build a reservoir that doesn't become a copper sink and toxic to the environment? That was the purpose of all the studies. Hundreds of thousands of dollars employing the best water chemists that work for the Bureau of Reclamation on large projects to try to remediate these and make sure that our reservoirs don't accumulate this stuff. It's because of the West Fork of Battle Creek that these studies were undertaken. And if we're not going to build the West Fork of Battle Creek, Mr. President, why are we spending AML dollars on a project that already has an EPA-approved total maximum daily load for the amount of copper going down the system? It's not doublespeak. It's common sense. They are intricately tied one to the other. On and for the amendment.
Okay, we're voting on division number two. To second reading amendment number two, which is lines 3 through 17. Okay, I don't think this has an appropriation, but we'll take a roll call vote anyway. Chief Kirk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns? No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Dockstetter, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 17 aye, 13 no.
Second reading, amendment number 2, division number 2 has passed. We're on division number 1. Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, you know, we've had a lot of discussion here in the last 3 weeks about needed economic diversity, endow. So what is the West Fork project? It's really it's a rural community endow project. You know, you see, nobody's going to move into these rural communities of Medicine Bow and Dixon and Bags and Farson and Rock River and bring manufacturing jobs in there. We're not going to bring high tech into these communities. You know, our real economic opportunities in rural Wyoming lie in value added of our natural resources, because we're a natural resource-based economy. And at the very foundation of that natural resource is water. We divert the water, and we raise crops, and we hay, and we create, feed livestock, and we produce food. And with that food, we produce commerce. We also provide habitat for wildlife and recreation for other people within the state of Wyoming. The same agribusiness people that we're talking about that are somehow going to get a huge subsidy for the state of Wyoming also subsidize the rest of the state of Wyoming. In this community, we winter over 10,000 elk, deer, and antelope, many of them on the same fields that are going to be irrigated with the water out of this project. Those are the same elk, deer, and antelope that the people of the state of Wyoming come down there and hunt. So who are we subsidizing? Our recreation base? The people that want to hunt and fish? We know that's one of our second biggest industries in the state of Wyoming. You know, this is a tremendous project for fisheries. We've gone through that. Mr. Chairman, if we're going to do something for economic diversification for rural Wyoming, it will be through water development. And through that development in those communities, we're investing in the whole state of Wyoming and the commerce that's generated from our number two industry, which is tourism, hunting, fishing, boating, rafting, outdoor recreation, and agriculture. There's a cycle, and water runs through that cycle. Members, you know, I would just hope that when we cast the vote today, that we can vote for a little economic development for rural Wyoming on and for the amendment.
Okay, Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, thank you. I'd like to point out to everybody, this with as amended is a much different approach than you saw yesterday in a much different way. I'd like you to go to the last page of the amendment, look at the special considerations, because what it really is, it says, funds from this appropriation shall not be expended until the project sponsor and the Wyoming Water Development Commission have secured additional funding commitments from project beneficiaries in both Wyoming and Colorado on a pro rata basis. Funds from this appropriation shall not be expended until the expenditure is approved by the legislature. That gives us the last hammer on it. It puts Colorado as fully bought in. It means that they're not getting our water. We're going to keep our own water, and it only works if it's feasible. So this is a totally different deal about funding the whole piece up front. This gives us final chance, but it keeps the project alive. It allows Colorado to come to the table and pay for their portion of it on a pro rata basis, and Wyoming to keep their part on a pro rata basis.
I can easily stand in support of this as it now stands. This is a workable solution for all of us, and it gives us a chance to keep Wyoming water in Wyoming's hands. Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Thank you, Mr. President. In looking at this, I just was going to ask the question of online, Senator Disco or Senator Hicks, the pro rata basis, could you just tell me what the amounts would come out to? I'm sorry, I don't know that.
Yeah, and Senator Anselmi Dalton, please refer from using their names
apologize.
Personally.
Sorry.
Okay, Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Folks, I couldn't agree more than with my colleague from Devil's Tower. This is a different discussion than we had yesterday. It's reasonable, it's prudent, it's cautious. And I, for one, would like to learn more. You know, it was my great privilege once to work for Al Simpson, and Al used to say, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but nobody's entitled to their own facts. Facts is facts. And so we've got a set of facts in front of us that were garnered by a process this legislative body set up, years of research by the Water Development Commission and by our Water Select Water Committee, that says this project makes sense. Now, we've heard a contrary set of facts. I'd like to give this project a little bit more time to sort through that and get to, personally, I think I want to rely on the fact-based system that our own process has established. Years ago, it was my pleasure to take water law at the University of Wyoming from a recognized world expert on water law. I learned two things. First, we are the beneficiary of the vision of people over 130 years ago who said we are going to make a commitment to preserving our water sources for the future. Who could have seen amongst them that someday our capital city would grow to the point that it was fed by water through a transbasin diversion? But their foresight helped us have those resources to this day. The other thing I learned from that is a sense of urgency, because that water flows out of the state. In the debate we heard yesterday, the water flows out of state. Absolutely, that's the problem. Every river in Wyoming flows out of state. And the doctrine of prior appropriation says, use it or lose it. The deserts that have been turned into an oasis in Phoenix, that's our water. They beat us to the punch in developing it. We need to make a commitment that we are going to develop every ounce of water in Wyoming to protect it from downstream appropriators. Now, does it initially go to agriculture and recreation? Yes. What will it go to 100 years from now? We do not know. But let's have the same vision as our founders in terms of taking that water and reducing it to beneficial use. Mr. Chairman, I would urge us at every opportunity to take water in Wyoming, put it to beneficial use, and protect it for the future against downstream appropriation, or 50 to 100 years from now, it may be lost to subsequent generations who will mourn the fact that we did not take action when we had the opportunity on and for the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, anyone else for the first time? Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'm delighted to get Colorado to pony up and do a proportional amount of funding of this project. My understanding is that the over 5,000 acres will come under irrigation are in Colorado. And in Wyoming, it's 13,988 acres. So it works out to be that 26%, according to this math, of the it's good math, Mr. President, we'll go to Colorado. So if we can get that 26%, that'll make this project a little better. Trouble is, it's still horrific. The economics are horrific. The fact that it'll still cost more to irrigate that land than the land is worth. That just strikes me as crazy, Mr. President. But, Mr. President, I will ask my question again. What has happened to the $7 million we've already spent on this project? I've asked it, and I keep asking questions that don't get answers. When we take, even if it doesn't cost $73 million anymore, Mr. President, plus the seven that's already spent, apparently, and we only spend a total of $60 million on the project because the rest is going to be picked up by our good friends to the south of us,
It still is astoundingly expensive to spend that much for 100 people. Astoundingly expensive.
Okay, anyone else for their first time? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I think we need to actually look at the facts in that it is much more than 100 people that gets a direct benefit from this. It's a heck of a lot more because there's a lot more than just irrigation involved in this. But I guess a thought when we were thinking about, well, we're spending more money on irrigation than what the land's worth. And I think back to a time when our family put in the first, if not one of the first, center pivots in the state of Wyoming. And we spent three times as much per acre than what that land cost us. And, folks, today it's worth a heck of a lot more. And there's sits right next to a beautiful game reserve. And, you know, it has a lot of public benefit and a lot of public uses. I think we got the same situation here is that, you know, it's whenever you're dealing with real estate, it's the day after tomorrow. That it's going to be worth a lot more 50 years from now after we develop this resource. And it's in the community, and it's there for everybody in Wyoming to enjoy. And Mr. President, I think that this is a good start, and we can work on it from here. The sideboards are on this now, and this one's not going to get away from us.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, if this were a pure ag proposition, I think I would agree with my distinguished colleague from Fremont County, who professionally trained economist. It wouldn't be a good deal. It doesn't pay out. But let me remind you, the water in the reservoir, my understanding is, will continue to be owned by the state of Wyoming. This is water in the Colorado River Basin. That river basin is over-appropriated because the initial appropriation among the several states was done almost 100 years ago, 90 years ago now, when they didn't have as much data as they needed, and they allocated more water than really exists, Mr. President. And it's my judgment that the ag use is a holding maneuver. Hopefully some of it will continue. And I can tell you, having some extra water later in the season can be very valuable for ag. But the key thing here is it will give us water that, as the state develops in the next 100 years, is available for municipal use, and we probably all of us drank some of the water this morning that came from this very area through the trade-off, the exchange that there is. And so it's available to our municipal areas. It's water that's available in an area that's undergoing a lot of mineral development in Sweetwater and Carbon counties. And goodness knows that development has the potential for needing water. So it gives us some water that we can preserve and not lose to the downstream states as they put their shares to use, Mr. President, and in the process take ours because it's too appropriated. So for those reasons, I think this is a good project to keep going, keep alive.
Yeah, Mr. Vice President, would you come up here, please? Senator Christensen, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. President. In 1901, my great-grandfather went up to Cowley, Wyoming, and worked on that, that big water system, the big ditch that brought water all across the Bighorn Basin. And then in 1903, he moved down to Teton Valley to Alta. And as soon as he could, he went over to Cheyenne and worked to protect the water coming off the west side of the Tetons for Alta. As a result of that work, today of Wyoming land on the west slope of the Tetons gets 50% of the water that comes off of there. The adjoining community doesn't get a drop of it as soon as folks clear across Idaho start making calls. Over 100 years ago, after working on the water projects up in Cali, he recognized the value in the investment in establishing water rights and priorities. And folks, this is what we're doing today, is protecting water when we may not see or appreciate the long-term benefit of it. But people that came well before us understood it, and it's our responsibility and duty, I think, to take those same kind of bold steps.
Mr. President?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. And members of the Senate speaking on and in favor of this particular part of the amendment. There's been some great discussion, some great debate. All these points that you brought up are excellent. Just one more thing to consider when you think about our great state of Wyoming, and everybody understands the importance of water. You go back to, and I don't recall the years, but I believe the governor might have been F.E. Warren, or he might have been in the Senate. I can't recall specifically about it, but he talked about the project to build dams and have irrigation in our state. And if you went back and analyzed the value of that water, of our land back then, I'm not even sure it would have been 50 cents an acre or a dollar an acre, yet the amount of money we spent to bring in that water, develop that acreage, those canals, and bring that to fruition to we see what we have today. You go into the Wind River Basin, you go on all these different parts of our state, all those dams, all that money spent back there on land, quite frankly, was not worth a lot, became very valuable. And so we're forward-thinking, we're proactive, and as a legislature, so I think this is a good idea. I like the amendment that the senator from Carbon County brought, putting sideboards on it, look at it later, be sure we get the best deal for our money. But members of the Senate, this is our water. And if we'd have had this attitude or we'd have promoted that years ago and you did not have the irrigation of what's going on in our state and what's been able to happen, you know, this was before we even had compacts. It's a good idea to take care of our water. This moves it forward. I would ask that you support this.
Further discussion on Division 1, Senator Burns.
Mr. Vice President or Mr. President, a question neither on neither for nor against. The tall senator from Bates Creek mentioned that the state of Wyoming would own 100% of this water. And I'm just curious, if the state of Colorado is going to pay for 26% or 30% or whatever of this project, wouldn't the state of Colorado then own a portion of the water in this reservoir? Or are they just going to say, here's some money, have a good time? I'm also kind of concerned about the tenor of the discussion on this, because there seems like there's a lot of conflating going on between how good water projects are in general, and nobody's arguing that. And Wyoming has a lot of dams and a lot of reservoirs and has saved a lot of water. The question is this a good project? Does this project make sense? And I don't know if it's gonna or not, but I would wish the discussion would stay on this project, not how great our water projects are. That's why we tend to vote them all in en masse. This one has been pulled out and singled out, I think, probably for some very good reasons, because there are some very questionable aspects about it.
Okay, anyone else for their first time before we start speaking for their second time? Okay, Senator Driscoll, for your second time.
Mr. President, thank you. The last debate's absolutely wonderful. I agree 100%. That's exactly what this does. We don't spend $10 million until we know, and we come back here and do it again. Tailing a tiny bit onto your deal, let's flash back in time a little and close your eyes, and let's think about Wyoming without Pathfinder, Alcova, Buffalo Bill, and let's talk about what they cost and how tough they were in that area, in that era, and what happens with time and value with land and water. Pathfinder was built in 1902. Cost $626,000 to build. Can you even imagine that today? Think about what that dam is, what it's done for Wyoming and its future and its history. 1964, Fontenelle, we're up to $7.9 million. We can't build a tiny reservoir for $7.9 million now. So the debates on money are somewhat invalid in some fashion if the project's valid and it works. This project also has something else that we've never really had in Wyoming. I've sat on select water since I've been here. This project has a big recreation component. There's a reason it's paid for 92%. It's because it's of the component that's non-ag. We're trying to focus on the ag people, or at least part of this room is, on ag values. The real values of our water are non-ag, folks. It has to do with our cities and towns. It's what we drink. It's the future of them. We've seen it all across, the likely future use of lots of this water. Sadly enough, will not be to irrigate ground for elk to feed on. It'll be for people to drink, and it won't be in this century, and it might not be in the next. Let's stay with the future, what our past has done for us. Water's where all of our big development and our good income in the state of Wyoming come from. This is a good amendment. We can turn it down next year, the year after, or 5 years from now. We don't spend a dime more by passing this amendment. What we do is say, let it live long enough to see if it actually is justifiable.
Okay, anyone else for their second time? Senator Case, for your second time.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, I think about these great water projects that we've accomplished in Wyoming's history. And basically, Mr. President, they were magnificent. They caused the desert to bloom. The projects up in the Bighorn Basin, some of our large ones in central Wyoming, desert bloom. Land that had no value for agriculture now had substantial value. This isn't the same situation. We have land that's already used in agriculture, and all this dam will do will provide supplemental late-season water. And it's not even clear that it'll do that every year, Mr. President. That's the problem. We're not talking about brand new, bringing the desert to life, Mr. President, which has tremendous benefits. Land that would go from almost no value per acre to being valued as irrigated land. That's a huge jump in value. This land is already irrigated for the most part. It is only providing late season supplemental supplies. That's why there's not an increase in the value of the land commensurate with the cost of building the dam. That's where it falls short. With regards to the compact, yes, there's clearly, if we develop supplies after the compact, which of course this is, there is a proportional allocation of the water, Mr. President, to the two states that are affected. And that's very clear. Mr. President, my understanding, I asked about the recreation benefits yesterday. My understanding is there are not nearly the recreation benefits on this proposal as there was on the High Savory Dam. I've asked where the money has been spent. I have asked questions that have not received answers. And, Mr. President, it's still a bad idea.
Can anyone else? Senator Burchard, jump in.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's the Golden State. As you go up this side of the Sierra Nevada, there's nothing but empty land. And that's because all the houses have been torn down. All the land has been bought up. And as you get further north, almost to the ski slopes, you'll see the water district for the big area in Southern California. People knew what it was to get those water rights. And I think that we've got a state to the south that has a lot of growth potential right on our doorstep. And if they build a dam and they build a reservoir, it's going to be too late. We're going to be in a fight on and for the amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a classic example. I thought I'd just take this interlude to, this is the classic reason why the old saying is whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. That's right.
Senator Kinski, for your second time.
Mr. President, thank you. There's a reason that economics is called the dismal science. 4 years of my life studying the dismal science, and one of the reasons it's so dismal is because when economists build these models, they assume that we have perfect information, perfect foresight, and that we're absolutely rational. The limit on these models is that we can't see out 20, 40, 60, 100 years into the future. If we could, we would take all those future benefits and discount them back to the present value and see that there's an overwhelming benefit to any given project. That's what people knew intuitively when they built these projects. That's what people knew intuitively when they took the deserts of Nevada and turned it into an oasis of Las Vegas. That's what people knew when they took the deserts of Arizona and turned those into an oasis. If you take a look at Phoenix today, originally that was all done for agricultural purposes. It was farmland. Until as prosperity came, it was converted into a city, a metropolis, prosperity and jobs. So I would urge us not to be too focused on the here and now in terms of our limited understanding of economics and models, but to focus on where future generations will be 50 to 100 years from now, and they will be grateful that we have the vision to capture our water and be the first to put it to beneficial use before the others downstream did. On and for the amendment, Mr. President.
Okay, is there anyone that hasn't said what's already been said a couple of times that wants to say something for their first or second time before the sponsor speech for a second time? Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, and I will answer those questions with the good senator from Fremont County. Where is the $7 million? Well, there's $6.2 million left in that account. What was spent? We already had this discussion. A significant amount of that was spent trying to figure out whether it was technically feasible to clean up the Hagerty Mine, to clean up the environment, to use water development funds to further projects. That's where the money was spent. It was determining what the least environmentally damaging alternative was. We presupposed the permit. The reason that the reservoirs were at is because it was because the least damaging alternative to the environment for a storage project. That's where the money's been spent. Most of it's still sitting here. That is part of the $73 million anticipated for the total cost. To the good senator from Sheridan County, if Colorado's allocated a portion of the Colorado River system, how can the water belong to Wyoming? Well, we already do that. It's called High Savory Dam. You file the water in the name of the state of Wyoming, and under High Savory Dam, you lease water to those Colorado users. That's the mechanism. Those water rights are entirely filed in the name of the state of Wyoming. You know, you talk about the desert bloom. I would just also let you tell you that every time we build a dam, the fisheries bloom below it, Mr. President. On and for the amendment.
Okay. We're voting on second reading amendment, division number one, which is lines 19 through 44 on page one and all of page two. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll? Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski? Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 25 aye, 5 no.
Second reading amendment number 2, division number 1 to House Bill 78 has passed. Senator Driscoll, are you standing up? Do we be recognized? Yes, sir, you may.
I'd like to lighten things up just a little bit. We've kind of been serious here. I'd like for all of you to join me in welcoming my daughter, Andrea Wood, who is a high school teacher at Moorcroft, who is down here for Poetry Out Loud. It's one of our Arts Council programs, some stuff we spend a little different money on. She's got our local champion, J.D. Whistler, and runners-up, Savannah King and Paige Sanderson. Welcome into the Wyoming Senate, please.
Welcome. Okay. Okay, we're on second reading amendment number 3. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
House Bill 78, second reading amendment number 3 to engrossed copy, page 3, line 11.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate or House Bill 78, members of the body. If you'll pull your bill up, what this does, and what I probably more appropriate, members, you've got a handout on your, and this speaks to the amendment. So you'll see it says House Bill 78 out here. This is the Gillette-Madison pipeline. This is information that we've been provided through Select Water, and then it was also given to the Joint Appropriations Committee when they heard the bill, or not the Joint, but the Senate Appropriations Bill the other day. So what the amendment effectively does is go into the water bill in two places. We have an appropriation for extensions of the Gillette-Madison project on page 3, line 11, and then page 3 through 12. And so what this does is go in and say, look, if you look at what we have here, is this is the balance sheet on the Gillette-Madison pipeline project. It shows all the expenditures, all the appropriations. So if you go through that, you start at the top. It says Gillette-Madison in 2009. That was allocated $11.2 million from the BRA in 2010, $16.4 for Water Development Account 3, General Fund $9.6, AML $25, General Fund $6.9, $23 million AML, $30 million AML, SIPA, 13.4, we get back to AML. Those are the grants that were provided for the project. If you look at the total down there, there's been roughly $146 million granted to the project. And then you go down to the next block. This is the money that was loaned to the city of Gillette. It's all out of the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. We've also loaned out approximately $44 million to the city of Gillette. Total budget on this is $190 million for the Gillette-Madison pipeline. Most of the wells have been drilled. The pipeline's been laid. So when you get down to the bottom, this is the balance sheet. So if you look at the total budget cost and you get down to the very bottom, there's still about $20 million left in that account. Those monies are AML monies, and they're out of Water Development Account 1 funds. Now, there's still some projects out there that is broken out. We still know that we have some estimated outstanding costs for the Gillette-Madison of about 8.6, some remaining project contracts that haven't been paid out yet to about 4.5. That gets us, when we take the $190 million, we subtract out what's remaining, what there's current obligations, and then what we look at is future project expenditures that may come underneath that. It gets us to the point that we have about $19.7 million. The bill that we have right now contemplates extensions to the Gillette-Madison Water Project in the tune of $4.5 million. What the amendment does is authorizes the city of Gillette to go into those existing appropriations where we know that there's about $19.7 million left and authorizes them to go ahead and expend those funds out of those existing appropriations where we have leftover funds right now. So even if we break that down in the math and we say, even if we move forward and they get a 67% grant, 33% loan, there's still $10 million of potential grant money left if we enact the amendment as it is today. This is not in any means trying to attempt to derail the Gillette-Madison project or the extensions. I would tell you, body, there's approximately 38 to 40 of these extensions that you're going to see over the next year. The preliminary estimates is up to $60 million for these extensions to those little irrigation, or not the irrigation districts, but the water and service and water and sewer districts. Now, I know Corporations Committee took this up a couple of years ago to look at the proliferation of special districts. A lot of it comes through what we do with these extensions through the water project. But members of the body, all this does is says you've got somewhere between $19 million plus left in that account. Just use your existing appropriations to fund these two extensions. It doesn't prejudice being able to come back in for the additional extensions that we know are going to happen with the Gillette Madison project. Mr. President, I'd stand for any questions on the amendment.
Okay. Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Just a quick question for the sponsor. I have some concerns, and I guess my question is, it was my idea that the money left over might be used for mitigating circumstances of well 11 and 12, and I'm very worried about those ranchers in that community being impacted as a result of those wells, and so I would really prefer to leave the money alone for a year until we find out with the study what we need to do for if there should be any problems. And so I guess I don't understand the amendment, and I have a lot of concerns. I do respect the good senator from Carbon County and would ask him if he could alleviate my concerns.
Mr. Vice President, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. My question is, do we actually get appropriated the money up front so we have $19 million in a bank somewhere? If you go to page 4, it says that we'll pay, it's page 4, uppercase A, it says the sponsor is responsible for acquiring for 33%. So basically we pay a third. So unless it's appropriated in this omnibus water bill, we don't have that money. And so the sponsor is saying, and I don't know this well enough, but the sponsor is saying we've got all this money and we should be able to pay for the rest of the project. This project's almost done. In fact, it would have been done a year ago except for some issues with the wells, drilling them. But we are profitable. I mean, we are saving the state $19 or $20 million by the time we get done. There will be that much left over in the account, but the city doesn't have that money. So I'm curious if you could answer that question, whether we have that money already, and I don't believe that the city of Gillette should be hamstrung by not having the funds and having to pay for everything themselves. At the end of this project, we'll turn back that $20 million or so. But at this point, we should be getting the same, being considered the same as any other community and getting the third of that or two-thirds of that money appropriated as we go along. And I ask the body to resist this amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. If that's the case that Gillette only wants to pay just, I mean, one-third, state's going to be getting back a lot more than $20 million because I believe that percentage was a lot higher than the two-thirds, one-third percentage. So, I mean, be careful what you ask for. You might not actually want that one-third, two-third split because you got a better split. But to answer the question about where the money's at, essentially these were, most of them were AML funds that were washed through the process of highway funds swaps and back into this project. They are appropriated out. They essentially reside in the Water Development Commission. They're there, and it's basically a draw account when things are needed to be spent and they're earmarked to this project. But Mr. President, I think that this is something that I'd like to see go forward because I think that we've got a lot of these reversions out there, and it's really a cash flow management decision where you've got a lot of little coffee cans out here in the water development program, and we want to try to figure out how we can best utilize the cash that's out there. And at some point in time, Mr. President, we might have to go to a program where we really only have one overflow pot, you know, for reversions, and each project can draw on that, kind of like we do capital construction on buildings. So you got one overflow, not necessarily one overflow or appropriation for each project. So, and it's really about managing cash flow, Mr. President. And that's what this amendment is trying to do. I think over the course of the interim, we'll study that cash flow thing and see whether or not we can have less float. And this is essentially float.
Okay, anyone else for the first time? For your second time, go ahead, Senator Wasserberger.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just another question for the sponsor. And when we did the Madison, the community of Gillette voted to actually tax ourselves. And I'm wondering if some of this money is actually money that was created by the tax on us. And if so, can we really do this as a result? And then, so if I could get those two questions answered, I would appreciate it, Mr. President.
Yeah, Senator Von Flader, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. What I heard from the good senator from Goshen, and no doubt selective hearing, what I heard was that they're hoping this reversions goes in the one big pot someday, and so we'd be paying for other people's projects with any savings we had on this project. But what I didn't hear was whether we ever got the money, actually had it in possession. So my thought is resist this amendment, let the project finish up. We still have four or five more wells to drill, which will come out of some pot of money at some point. But we are profitable. We are going to save the state money. We're going to give back probably $20 million. Let's resist this amendment, let the process work, and then we'll give you back your money at the end.
Okay. Senator Hick, for your second time.
Mr. President, and I appreciate the questions from my colleagues from Campbell County. And I do think that we should celebrate the efficiency for which the pipeline and the project was done. I wish more projects were done where we had actually came in $20 million. But a couple of questions that I hope that I can help answer is if we enact this, it still leaves $15,224,000 in those accounts for any potential unforeseen circumstances to deal with the issues with maybe some water issues in Crook County. $15.2 million will more than adequately cover that. The other question, is this part of the tax generated on the city of Gillette? No. If you include the taxes, the capital taxes, the Gillette, the total project comes up to about $217,000.
Million.
$217 million if you add the tax component that the city of Gillette put on here. So the way the program works, these monies are appropriated, and they are allocated specifically to the Gillette-Madison Pipeline Project. And the sponsor is the city of Gillette, and is the good senator from Goshen County. The way that works with all water development programs, they're billable expenses. So as the engineers design it and the construction company bills it, the city of Gillette and collects those invoices, signs them and certifies them, sends them to the Water Development Commission, and then they send a check to the city of Gillette to pay those. So the monies are in the bank. They're appropriated specifically for this use, and because of the stewardship that the city of Gillette has shown, there's $20.8 million. You enact the amendment, there's still $15.2 million available to move forward. Again, this is not seen as a penalty. What it's trying to do is extend account one. We've had the discussion. We know that through appropriations, we've raided water account one. We've taken $13.4 million. To fund the Board of Control out of that. What this effectively does is it allows the Gillette-Madison project and the extensions. Keep in mind, there's $60 million more in extensions out there as we start to bring in these subdivisions around the city of Gillette. This extends account one out that 4.5 for another half of a year that there's money for future projects out there. It may or may not be Gillette, but at least that money is available to the whole state of Wyoming that participates in the water development program. So on and for the amendment, vote it up, vote it down. It's really just trying to make sure that we have adequate money for the rest of the state of Wyoming.
Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 78. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
No.
Anselmi Dalton? No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
No.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Cope?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Ellis?
No.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott? No. Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Bebout?
Aye.
Christensen? Aye to no. Baldwin? Aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 11 aye, 19 no.
Second reading, Amendment Number 3 to House Bill 78 has failed. House Bill 78 had been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hear no objection. So ordered. House Bill 99, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 99, prescription and possession of FDA-approved drugs.
House Bill 99 had been read two separate times. The question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objection. So ordered. House Bill 103, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 103, engrossed, Wyoming Legal Tender Act.
House Bill 103, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Heard no objection. So ordered. House Bill 106, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 106, Municipal Court Authority, Conditional Suspension of Fines.
House Bill 106, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Heard no objection. It is so ordered. House Bill 108, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 108, engrossed, Estelle Real.
House Bill 108, having read two separate times. The question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. So ordered. House Bill 117, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 117, engrossed, domestic abuse phone numbers.
House Bill 117, having read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. It is so ordered. House Bill 141, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 141, concealed weapons in places of worship.
House Bill 141, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. It is so ordered. House Bill 153, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 153, engrossed, Hathaway Expand Wyoming Scholarships.
House Bill 153, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 157, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 157, engrossed, Healthcare Providers Sexual Assault Protections 2.
House Bill 157, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections. So ordered. House Bill 175, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 175, Common College Transcripts.
Okay, we have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in. Second reading amendment number 1.
House Bill 175, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy. Page Senator, 3, line 7.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 175. This is a cleanup amendment. It just goes into the reporting part of the bill on page 3 and inserts the word interim so that the report comes back to the Joint Education Interim Committee by October 1st, 2018.
Further discussion. All in favor of second reading amendment number 1? Say aye.
Aye.
That amendment has passed. House Bill 175 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hear no objection. It's so ordered. House Bill 192, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 192, Legislator Communications on Recordings and Broadcasts.
House Bill 192 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hear no objection. So ordered. House Joint Resolution number 5, second reading of the Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution 5, engrossed, Yellowstone and Grand Teton Wildlife Conservation Fees.
Okay, we got an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
House Joint Resolution 5, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 3, line 3.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, move second reading amendment number 1 to House Joint Resolution 5. This comes in on and clarifies how the fees come back. There was some concern that maybe the way the old language was that the fees could come back to the parks themselves. It inserts the words to be transferred back to the states of Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho to have conforming language with page 4 of this. That's all it does, and I'd ask that you support the amendment.
Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Joint Resolution 5. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, that amendment has passed. House Joint Resolution 5 has been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the joint resolution be read a 3rd time? Heard no objections. It is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we have a consent list.
We do, Mr.
You have a list for us?
I do, Mr. President. Before I make the motion,
I think what we're going to do is we'll probably do this consent list, and then I'll probably ask to recess until the afternoon session before we take up the individual bills on third reading. With that, Mr. President, we do have a consent list. I move third reading consent list, which is as follows. House Bill 10, Workers' Compensation, Extraterritorial Reciprocity. House Bill 17, Child Support Amendments. House Bill 18, Non-Resident Employer Bonding. House Bill 32, School Finance, Major Maintenance Formula. House Bill 33, School Finance, Capital Construction Amendments. House Bill 34, Duplicate Titles, Motor Vehicles. House Bill 35, Motor Club Services Updates. House Bill 77, In-Stream Flow Consultant. House Bill 100, State Emergency Response Commission Membership. House Bill 109, Public Employee Retirement Plan Contributions. House Bill 125, Wyoming Lottery Revenues. House Bill 164, Overweight Vehicles, Agricultural Exemption. I love that title. House Joint Resolution 2, Commercial Driver's License Compact Agreement.
Does anyone wish to have any of these Senate House bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 10, Workers' Compensation, Extraterritorial Reciprocity. House Bill 17, Child Support Amendments. House Bill 18, Non-Resident Employer Bonding. House Bill 32, School Finance, Major Maintenance Formula. House Bill 33, School Finance, Capital Construction Amendments. House Bill 34, Duplicate Titles, Motor Vehicles. House Bill 35, Motor Club Services Updates. House Bill 77, In-Stream Flow Consultant. House Bill 100, State Emergency Response Commission Membership. House Bill 109, Public Employee Retirement Plan Contributions. House Bill 125, Wyoming Lottery Revenues. House Bill 164, Overweight Vehicles Agriculture Exemption. And House Joint Resolution 2, Commercial Driver's License Compact Agreement. Chief Clerk, please call the roll on the consent list.
On the consent list, Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton? Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins? Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flader?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. House Bill 10, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 10, 30 aye. Aye. House Bill 17, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 17, 30, aye. House Bill 18, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 18, 30, aye. House Bill 32, are there any changes? Agar, aye to no. Closing vote. Bouchard, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 32, 28 aye, 2 no. House Bill 33, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 33, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 34, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 34, 30 aye. House Bill 35, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 35, 30 aye. House Bill 77, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Pappas, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Coe, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 77, 22 aye, 8 no. House Bill 100, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 100, 30 aye. House Bill 109, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 109, 30 aye. House Bill 125, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 125, 30 aye. House Bill 164, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 164, 30 aye. House Joint Resolution 2, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Joint Resolution 2, 30 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 10, Workers' Compensation, Extraterritorial Reciprocity. House Bill 17, Child Support Amendments. House Bill 18, Non-Resident Employer Bonding. House Bill 32, School Finance Major Maintenance Formula. House Bill 33, School Finance Capital Construction Amendments. House Bill 34, Duplicate Titles, Motor Vehicles. House Bill 35, Motor Club Services Updates. House Bill 77, In-Stream Flow Consultant. House Bill 100, State Emergency Response Commission Membership. House Bill 109, Public Employee Retirement Plan Contributions. House Bill 125, Wyoming Lottery Revenues. House Bill 164, Overweight Vehicles, Agriculture Exemption, and House Joint Resolution 2, Commercial Driver's License Compact Agreement have passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Do you have anything you want to do before I make the motion?
We have some messages from the House.
Okay.
From the House of Representatives, March 6, 2018. Mr. President, the following messages refer to concurrence passed. Message number 226, the House concurred on Senate amendments to House Bill 22, Quebec One Missile Alert Facility Fees, ayes 51, noes 9. Message number 227, the House concurred on Senate amendments to House Bill 101, Electronic Corporate Records, Ayes 60. Message number 228, the House did concur on Senate amendments to House Bill 126, Limited Liability Companies Series, Ayes 60. Message number 231, the House did concur on Senate amendments to House Bill number 2, Election Law Violations, Penalties, and Enforcements, Ayes 46, Noes 14. Mr. President, message number 229, the House failed to concur on Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution 8, 150th anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Bridger. Ayes 3, noes 57. Message number 230, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee, number 1, from the Senate on amendments to House Joint Resolution 8. The House conferees are Representative Allen, Chairman, Representative Larson, and Representative Simpson. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee, number 1, to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Okay, go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcement, Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I know you're probably shuddering up there when you see me standing up, but I'd really like to have privilege of the floor for a minute.
Denied. Wait a minute. I just denied it, Senator Coe. Okay. Yes, sir, you may have the privilege.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. You know, as we go into the next 4 days, I think it's really important that we recognize the leadership of our president. And I want you to know the president...
Point of order, Senator Cole. No.
The president and I have been friends since 1965 at the University of Wyoming. But as we go through these next 4 days, I think it's really important that we be able to recognize him. 3 days, hopefully. So I have a little gift for him. I want him to put on and show to you. I think it's really appropriate for what we're going through with the budget. And with that, Mr. President, can I come forward and give you this gift?
Senator Coe, I think you're going to come forward anyway, regardless of what I say. Please come up.
But you have to put this on and show it to everybody.
Uh-oh.
It's not obvious.
Uh-oh. You
can read it.
Don't do it, Senator.
Don't open it.
It's a trap.
It says, I'm their leader. Which way did they go? Senator Coe, I think we had a hat like this back in college, and it was whether we would go to the Coe Library or Plan B. And I won't mention what Plan B was. Well, thank you, Senator Coe, for not only for this, but for all these years. Hank, you've been a great friend, and you love our state like I do. Appreciate it. That picture will, I'll give that to my wife. She'll get a kick out of that, knowing you like she does. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number two, it'll be the Joint Conference Committee on the Budget, will meet in the JAC room at 12:30, but I would like to meet all the members of Senate Appropriations immediately upon recess down here, please.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number nine, Joint Minerals and Economic Development, will meet with their partners down the on the other side at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning in Jonah Room H37. That's the Minerals Room down at the other end to discuss interim topics.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, your committee number five, Guns, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, will be meeting upon adjournment today in Jonah Room L51 to take up State Fair Endowment, Stand Your Ground 2, and also work on interim topics.
Senator Christensen. Thank you, Mr. President. Your Judiciary Committee number one will meet Wednesday, March 7th, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. at Jonah S-18 to discuss interim topics with the House.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number three, Revenue, will meet 30 minutes after noon recess at 12:30 in Jonah Room S-19 to take up House Bill 156, State Songs, and House Bill 170, Engrossed Wyoming Children's Trust Fund Amendments. Also, Mr. President, your joint or Revenue Committee number three will meet with our counterparts down the way tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to discuss interim topics. And that's in Jonah Room H-36.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number eight, Transportation, will meet about 5 minutes from now in Jonah Room S-27 to discuss interim topics. And, Mr. President, your joint Transportation Committee number eight will meet today upon adjournment of both houses in Jonah Room L-54 to discuss interim topics.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your Corporations Committee number seven will be meeting at 12:15 in L-54 to discuss interim topics.
Senator Case, while you're up, refresh my memory on the Tribal Relations Committee. Who's on that besides you? I believe Senator Ellis.
And Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the Conference Committee for House Joint Resolution number eight will be Senator Case Chair, Senator Ellis, and Senator Anselmi Dalton. Okay, anything else? All right, you heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m. Good job. There you go.